to our hearts. If you have any suggestions up there, we just do the best we can, see how it works. Any of us know what's going on with it. We just somehow getting the noise out of it that we don't usually get. But we'll give it a shot tonight. If we have trouble, we are having trouble, so forget it. Well, y'all glad you're saved?
Amen.
Amen. It happened this morning also. We'll just switch mic, see if this one works. Making a noise anyway. We know it's on. Worship God in freedom. We mentioned this morning about if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And I believe that with all my heart. I was reading a speech that Patrick Henry gave, and when he got to the end of it, he said, I don't know what you're going to do, but something to that effect, but he said, give me liberty or give me death. And he, throughout that speech, though he was given, and he's also in a church, he also pastored a church, but he was a tremendous man. And in reading about all of that, of what he had to say in that, it stirred my heart to know how much a price was paid so that you and I could have a country like America. There was a man came and visited years ago from another country, and to find out why America was such a great country. And when he got back home, they asked him, why is it America is such a great country? What makes her great? Said, because she's good, she's great. And I'm afraid today, they came over and looked it over, they'd have a different story to say, something else to say when they got back home. And we need to get back to the that old time way. We need to get back to believing God, serving God, having people in leadership that love God, and know that without God, no man can rule like they ought to. And we must have God to help us. We need God. And so I just wanted to say again tonight, thank God, though, that he gave us a land to come to, land to be born in, a land to grow up in, and know what it is to have freedom to worship God. Thank God for that. And I praise him again tonight for the privilege that we have to be in the house of God. Nobody standing outside going to arrest us when we go out. Nobody's going to put us in jail for it. Nobody's going to take our Bibles away from us. Nobody, amen. I mean, we all praise God just for the fact we get to come to church without being bothered. Nobody's aggravating us or saying anything about it. It's against the law to do that. Now, they got a lot of things out here in the world they said we can't do, but I'm talking about church. I'm talking about coming to the house of God. And we sometimes get a lot said about what's going on outside, but I'm glad we still have freedom in the church to do. Hey, man, we better keep close to God. Let God help us, or we'll lose that too. And may God help us realize the fact. And by the way, church, we need to be reminded that it's good to worship God. It's good to come in and just turn loose and worship God. And we came to praise his name. Give him glory. Give him thanks. And I thank God for the singing of the songs and how good it's been just to be in the house of God tonight. It's a joy to my heart, a thrill to my life. And I say, God, help me not to take for granted the privilege to come. And the privilege it is to sing, privilege to open the Bible, a privilege to say hallelujah, amen, amen, glory to God. A privilege that it is to know that we're going to heaven, looking for Jesus to come. I say hallelujah and praise his name for all it. Turn your Bibles tonight to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. I'm trying to share just a few thoughts with you here tonight. Philippians chapter number 4. Brother Hazelwood been teaching in Philippians, and he'll get to this later, but time he gets there, you'll forget what I said anyway. I hope not, but anyway, it'll be all right. In Philippians chapter 4, verse number 9. Let's stand, please, while I read the Word of God. Philippians 4, verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard, seen in me, do. That says a whole lot, doesn't it? If we ourselves could say that truly, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And to the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to be to abound everywhere in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now, Paul's there to say this. The Apostle Paul's really giving him a thank you, personal note. But in doing so, he's saying, now, I thank you for what you're doing, but I want you to know it's abounding to your account. Hallelujah. I'm glad as we share in missions, it abounds to our account as they go, as we get the privilege to give. Verse 18, but I have all and abound and am full, having received of Epaphras the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Word of God tonight that we have been privileged to open and read. I thank you tonight, God, for the privilege to hear the singing, the privilege to be in the house of God, the privilege to fellowship, the privilege that we have to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray tonight the power of God be upon us. Lord, I confess unto you that without you we can do nothing and that we need that divine touch. I pray for the power of God to come and Lord, touch our minds and illuminate our minds. Help us to think. Help us be able to say tonight what you want us to say. I pray, say it in the power of God, and pray the Holy Spirit take the Word of God, speak to every heart, bring conviction where it's needed. I pray tonight, God, we sit in the house of God. We'll just not hear words, but Lord, will you speak to us and challenge us and deal with us and encourage and help, and we'll thank you and praise you in all that you do. I pray you rebuke the devil, the powers of evil. I plead the blood, claim the victory. In Jesus, my Lord and my Savior, in his name I pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Tonight, as we think about this, that I want to try to preach to him, give you three things tonight. And Paul was in prison, by the way, when he wrote this book. And here he's writing to the church at Philippi and giving that thank you note. But he was in prison at least 18 times in this book. It is mentioned about joy or rejoice or something along that line. And him in prison. And he's talking about that and saying it over and over again. And I got to thinking, I don't know why this thought came, but it did. Thinking about Paul had it made. And if you thought that, looking at it from a human standpoint, just a materialistic standpoint, you'd say not so. But I want to preach tonight and just give you three things how to know that you've got it made. Hallelujah. I never thought of that thought as such until this afternoon, but I'd worked on the message, thought about the message, and I trying to title it something else, but God just hit me real good and said, how to know that you've got it made. I'm going to give you three things that you can know that you know that you got it made. Amen. Now, I'm glad for that flag over there. I'm thankful that I live in this country, but that's not how I know I got it made. And I'm thankful that we have the freedom to do what we do out here in the world. You got a job, you have freedom to go to, and you get paid. That's good. Now, not all of you have jobs. I understand that. Some are struggling with that subject right now, but I'm going to tell you tonight how you know you got it made where you have a job, don't have a job. You like that, don't you? Brother Ben, he said he didn't know to hear this. Amen. How to know that you got it made. And I pray that God will help me share that with you tonight. Every missionary would like to hear that. But I'll tell you right now, it's not just good for missionaries. It's good for everybody. I need it tonight myself. I'm a candidate for hearing the preaching. Amen. I need it myself. So I pray that God would help me know that I know that I got it made. And so I pray tonight God will help you to know that you've got it made too. Brother Bob, don't that sound good to you? Amen. He's always sitting back out grinning at me. And because he knows where God brought him from. He knows where he was. He knows that God did something for him and saved him out of that mess. And praise God, gave him a new life, and you shouting his soul. I say praise God. I rejoice in that. And Brother Buddy, how you can go out there in Texas and leave us out here. Well, anyway, I know how you can know that you got it made out in Texas. Amen. And it's good, and I praise God for it. So we're going to look at it. And just three things, how to know that you got it made. And so you think about it tonight, and you'll say, preacher, are you sure we got it made tonight? I'm as sure as I'm standing here, I've got it made. Amen. I get all tore up sometimes, and you say, preacher, I never get tore up. Like I said this morning, you probably lie about something else too. I don't worry, I just wring my hands, amen, and get very concerned. Amen. Billy Mack down in Swampville, North Carolina, and singing that song, Living by Faith. He sang it, it's told me one day, he said, I'm living by faith, and I'm getting alarmed, amen. And that's how we are sometimes. And living by faith and have no alarm. Sometimes we get alarmed and need to be reminded of how we know that we got it made. And so tonight, you've got it made. If you're saved, now I'm talking about saved folk. If you're not saved, you don't have it made. If you're not saved, you're lost without God. And a person that's lost without God is dead in sin and trespasses. A person not saved doesn't have it made. Fact is, they don't have anything to have it made about. And a person not saved doesn't have any hope. And the only help they have is hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ and knowing that he is the light, he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. And if you want to have it made, you must know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Number one tonight, and I guess I've said enough about this other stuff, but I want you to know, here we are, look at the book of Joy, a book full of it, and Paul in prison writing to those people at Philippi that helped him over and over again. They sent him a gift. Number one, satisfied in whatever state I'm in. Look in verse number 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Let me read verse 12 while I'm at it. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer want. Suffer need. He's saying in these two verses, I've learned how to be content. Doesn't matter the difference what state I'm in. And by the way, he wasn't talking about North Carolina and South Carolina, nor Florida, nor Virginia. He's talking about the condition we're in and the state that we're in that term of the thinking about state. And said, I've learned whatever state I am therewith to be content. Have you ever thought about that? To be content no matter what's going on around you. That's saying a mouthful, is it not? And Paul, when he said that in a prison, in Rome and thinking he could write that, those words and said, I've learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. He said, I've learned how to abound. I've learned how to be abased. I've learned how to be full. I've learned how to be hungry. But said, I'm content in whatever state I find myself in. In America, God has blessed us abundantly beyond measure, and we're a sport bunch of people. If we're not careful, we get discontented because we don't have all the TV we want. Or we get discouraged because we don't get all the fineries we want, or the boats that we want, or the motors, whatever it is that we've got our heart set on. If we're not careful, we get discontented in things. But I want you to know tonight, real contentment doesn't come in things. Real contentment comes in being right with God and letting God help us, amen. That's real contentment. Look with me, please, over in the book of 1 Timothy in chapter number 6, if you would, please. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 5. We'll start reading there. I'm going to show you this. It's good. You need to mark it in your Bible. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing, now to get this, supposing that gain is godliness. Now, there's a crowd today that will try to tell you that if you live right and you believe God, you get mansion and Cadillacs and Lincolns and all that kind of stuff. And sometimes you get Lincolns, but they're wore out when you get them. That terminology is used a lot today. It's this wealth thing, you know, and if you're right with God, you never get sick, and all at the same time, they're wearing false teeth and glasses and amen, and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about the real thing. That'd be good to title another message, the real thing, amen. The real thing, I'm talking about how to know you got it made. You're contented where you are, no matter what state it is, no matter what's going on around you, no matter what the conditions are, you can be content. Now listen to what else he said in this. Supposing that godliness is gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Now, but, there's a holy conjunction, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. There's nothing wrong in itself of gain if it's done in the right way and used for the right purpose. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But gain in itself does not mean godliness. For we brought nothing into this world. Now listen to this. We brought nothing into this world. Did you know when you was born, you didn't have a thing in the world with you? Fact is, you didn't even have a stitch of clothes when you came in this world. You didn't have a bottle in your mouth. You didn't have anything. That's what the Bible said. You didn't have anything. When you're born, you don't have anything. He said you brought nothing in this world. Certain. Now get what God said. It's certain that you'll carry nothing out. You ever seen a U-Haul fall into the curse? You ever saw going to the cemetery and having a U-Haul and getting ready to unload it, take something with them? You haven't seen that because no use doing it because you can't take anything with them anyhow. I'd carry nothing out. Now notice verse number 8, getting down to really nitty gritty here. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. And so I think about that, and godliness with contentment is great gain. Hey, some folk had thought they had contentment but didn't have godliness. I thought about in the Bible about Lot's wife. She liked Sodom because she looked back, and she really liked what was going on in Sodom because she was looking back at and turned into a pillar of salt. And so she was messed up. She had some contentment back there. She wanted to be back there, but she didn't have godliness in her life. And she didn't know what that was. And the Bible calls him a rich young fool, said thou fool tonight. This man was rich, and he had a great farm, tore down his barns, built greater, and said to my soul, thou as much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now he thought he had it made with that, because it was all looked so good and looked like it lasted him for years, and he'd be content with that. But I'm convinced that had he lived, he wouldn't have been content. But God came at night and said, thou fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee, and then who shall these things be that you have left? And so it is tonight. You can bring things in, can't take anything out, and having food and raiment, be content. And we ought to be content. Lot had godliness and yet got discontented, looked towards Sodom and longed for that place and got down there. And his righteous soul, the Bible says, was vexed from day to day. And down there, he knew God, but he wasn't content because he wasn't where he ought to be with God. And he's in the wrong crowd, in the wrong mess, and got messed up. But then I thought about Joseph, hallelujah. He had godliness and contentment. He was a godly man and got down Potiphar's house. He's the best servant Potiphar had and got promoted and all that. Then his Potiphar's wife lied on him and he got put in prison. He's the best prisoner they ever had down in prison. You know what? He just loved God all the time, whether he was in Potiphar's house, whether he was in the pit his brothers put him in, or whether he's in down there in prison, or whether he's in the palace, he still just loved God, just lived for God, was content, and didn't make any difference about all the rest of it. I say glory to God. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen. You can have God in contentment, be poor as Job's turkey, as old saying. And I don't know if Job had a turkey, but anyway, you can be poor and still be satisfied, contented, if you know God. I'm talking tonight how to know that you got it made. And you got it made if you can be contented with whatever state that you find yourself in. And most of us have problems with that. Good preaching, preacher. Amen. I do, you do. And we get things on our mind and 401ks and that kind of thing. If you rested all of it in that, you're probably a sad, sad camper tonight. But anyway, that be as it may. Some may come back, some may go, some may rise, some may fall. But I tell you right now, it needs to be based on something besides what this world's got. If you're going to be content in whatever state you're in, then you'll have to remember the fact godliness with contentment is great gain. God's continued is concerned about our continuing in godliness. We're living in an ungodly world, got a lot of ungodly influence, got a lot of ungodly things happening in it, and you and I need to be contented living for God in godliness. Amen. All around us. I heard a man on the radio preaching, and he's telling this story about this man that didn't have much, got in business, got to making a whole lot of money, and how they made all this money, and he's telling the preacher, he could hire him in his business and get him in sales, and around the world he could send him, and he could make $200,000 a year and all that kind of stuff. But man chose to serve God, stay with God. But the other man chose to go on with the business and do what he was doing. Sure enough, he made it big and got all that stuff. But then he left his wife, got mixed up with another woman, and then he left his children, didn't even make contact with them, got out there in all the mess, and then took cancer and called up his family and said, will you come see me? I need to apologize. I need to get it right with you. He had everything as far as the world's concerned, but had nothing when it come down time to die. I'd rather have God with me and know God than have all the riches this world's got. Fact is, I've got it made tonight. Hey, man, I have got it made. How come, preacher? Because I'm contented where I am. Amen. And I praise God and thank God for it. I say hallelujah and praise God. If you can be contented in whatever state you're in. Now, I'm not contented all the time. I'm not going to stand up here and lie to you because I'd be a lying preacher and you don't need that. And I'm not contented all the time because sometimes the flesh rises up in me and gets in the way, and I get the ring in my hands and get to worried about this and that, and where's this coming from, that kind of from. I need to remember the song the choir sings. He's never failed me. What's the name of that song, Jennifer? He never failed me yet? No use to doubt him now. No use to doubt him now. And you look back over your life, and I remember how God has done this for me, how God has done that for me. There's no use for me to doubt him now. If God hadn't failed me this far, Brother Ben, I don't believe he's going to fail me the rest of the way. I don't believe he brought me this far just to let me fall flat, amen. I don't believe he brought me this far just to throw up my hand and say, hey, he's no use. I believe, praise God, they still, Brother Wishon, hallelujah, I believe still we got it made, amen. Brother Wishon preached for years, and tonight, somehow tonight, God this afternoon just worked in my heart. I said, boy, you got it made, amen. I said, got it made. And Pastor Church, got it made, hallelujah. Got it made. Number two, I said, and I was meant to be brief tonight, because I didn't want to keep running too long, but I better preach to him anyhow, amen. And content in whatever state that you find yourself in. And so what state are you in? Doesn't make any difference. Are you contented? Godliness with contentment is great gain. And so godliness, living for God, letting God have his way, laughing. By the way, if you're not contented with God and godliness in your life tonight, when you face God, you'll be in a mess. There's going to be some folk that are saved that'll be ashamed to see Jesus. That's what the Bible says. Now, little children, abide in him that when he shall appear, that we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. 1 John 1:28. I don't know where it is. It's in there. I promise you it's in there. Amen. And so we know that some's going to be ashamed when they meet Jesus. And we need to watch that. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Number two, look at verse number 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I'm contented because I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You say, preacher, now what does that mean? We preach this a lot of times, and we ought to emphasize, it's Christ that strengthens us. He said, without me, you can do nothing. He didn't say you can do some things. He said you can do nothing. Can't do anything without him anyhow. And preacher's preaching down there in camp meeting the other night, and he's talking about that anointing power of God, that mantle falling. And I sat there and said, amen, amen. That's true. We need God in our churches, amen. We need that power of God. We need the presence of God. We need it manifested. We need all of that. And I say, glory, hallelujah. Everything that he said, everything they preached. I say, praise God and the Lamb forever. Amen for that. And we do must have God, and God to help us. And tonight, I pray God to help us at Gateway to reach out to others, reach others for Christ, keep sending missionaries and keep doing what God wants us to do. But I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And what hit me to studying this message and thinking about it was, I can do. I can do. Now, I physically can't do what I used to do, for sure. Physically, I'm getting long in years. Few of you older than me, not a whole lot, but a few of you. And a lot of you a whole lot younger than I am. And I remember back not too many years ago, Brother Ben Mayo trying to catch me. We down there beside that fellowship building playing football with some kids. And we just playing around with those kids. And I was running from him. And I was older than him. And he determined that I would not outrun him. But I made a cut real quick. And he missed it. He rammed his head into the side of that building. They may still be some hair down there off the top of his head, I'm not sure. But I know, I think his head got better. But I tell you, he made sure he got me. Brother David Duncan, he's with me going to the hospital. I was quite a bit older than him. He said, let's race to the front door. I said, okay, took off. He reached out and grabbed me because I was beating him, running him, outrunning him. He wasn't going to let this old man do that to him. But I tell you what, in the last couple of years, three, it sure has changed in my life. I can't run, period. And I can't do what I used to do, period, in those kind of physical things. But I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, because God won't ask me to do anything that he'll not strengthen me to do. And I like that, praise God. I know he has the power. I know he's able to do. But I want you to know tonight, I can do all things through Christ restraining me. God said, I want you to preach tonight. And I got to thinking about, he said, I can do all things through Christ restraining me. Then I believe I'll just preach, amen. I give it a good shot, best I've got, and try anyhow, amen. And I say, hallelujah, praise God. And if he said do it, do it. And keep on doing it. But when you're going to quit doing it, when he says quit doing it, amen. Until then, preach. And so I'm trying to tell you, I can do it. I remember when God called me to preach, you've heard me tell it. And if you've heard it before, you're going to hear it again. And it's okay. I like to tell it. Paul ever changed his God? He said, did I ever tell you about the time I was on the road down to Damascus? Amen. I know I got saved one Sunday morning. I've told you that over and over. Hallelujah. A church member lost going to hell, but God reached down, picked me up out of the mess I was in, and saved me and gave me assurance down inside. I could know that I know that I know I'm saved. I say hallelujah and praise God for that. Then God began to work in my heart, but in church, and I was faithful and all that. My wife taught me about tithing and about doing things for God. She was raised more in church, and I was in church, and I wasn't taught all that stuff, but I taught a whole lot about living for God. Heard a lot of things, but I'm glad for the day I got saved and the day God called me to preach. Two things I know in my life. I got saved and God called me to preach. Mama didn't call me to preach. Fact is, when I called Mama and told her God called me to preach, I thought she was going to pass out. And Linda knew me back in, and everybody knew me back in, knew that I was probably the least candidate they had for a preacher. But God began to work in my heart. And I got in church, and I've been teaching a men's Sunday school class out in the auditorium. But God got to dealing with me, and everywhere I go, they'd ask me if I was a preacher. Got to bother me, but anyway, I got as convicted that I ought to preach as I ever was that I ought to get saved. God dealt with me like that. And then I got to thinking, well, maybe it's something I want. And that bothered me. Lord, surely to goodness, I don't want to preach. But I had that hunger. There was something inside of me kept drawing me toward that and toward that. And I talked to my wife about it. And then I talked to my pastor about it. And he said, I tell you what, let's do. Let's ask God. And I told him, I said, I'm afraid. Something I want to do now. I don't want to get in something like that. If God's not in it, I don't want it. He said, let's pray like this. If God's calling you, let's pray he'll make this worse on you about convicting you and drawing you to preach. And if he's not in it, take it away. Said, sound good to me. And we started praying that way. My soul, it got worse. Instead of getting better, I thought, man, that thing will leave me and I'll be all right. I can go on about my life, but it kept working inside of me and kept working. One Saturday night, I wanted to go into bed, children in bed, and I got sitting there reading my Bible study and getting ready for Sunday school. I said, Lord, I don't know. I can't stand it any longer. I've got to know that you're in this. John 15:16 says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. And I looked at that verse of scripture, and Brother Bud, I know God never spoke out loud, but he might as well spoke to me in an audible voice. That verse leaped out at me, and I said, God, I bowed my head and wept that night and said, I'll do it if you'll help me. If that's what you want me to do, I'll try to announce my calling in the morning. And so I went to bed. Next morning I got up sick as I could be. I mean, I was throwing up, vomiting. I don't know what y'all call it, but anyway, I was really sick. And I thought, my soul. My wife said, you're going to go to church? I said, I believe the devil's trying to keep me out of church. I'm going to go. I know my nerves are tore all to pieces. And so I went on to church. Got to church, didn't say much to anybody. Got ready for Sunday school, and they called, got Sunday school opening. I was to teach. I got up to teach, opened my Bible, stood there, opened my mouth, couldn't nothing come out. And stood there and wept, and tears ran down my face. And finally, the deacon, sitting about a third of the way back, and is in the auditorium, said, why don't you just go ahead and tell us about it? And it hit me. Why didn't I just go ahead and tell it? And so I just started telling them about God called me to preach. I got turned loose. Now what happened that morning? I don't know what happened that Sunday school class. I don't know what I talked, don't know what I said. I just know one thing that morning. It got loose in there and God got all over me. I got to tell him God called me to preach, and it got turned loose, and hallelujah. Glory to God. I've been in gear ever since trying to preach the word of God because I knew God called me to preach. Amen. After that, I get up and open my mouth, and God would help me, and I say, hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I couldn't do that if God hadn't have been in it. God's let me preach through the years and see God work, and I'm not saying anything about me. It's all been God, but hallelujah. I used to go down there in Troy and in an old brush harbor out there and preach, and God get all over that place. Hallelujah, and the Lamb forever. I can't explain all that to you. I don't know how God did all that and went to a little old store building in Rural Retreat, and God got in. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. Church up there, living for God. I don't know how to explain all that. Don't I explain why I will to you? I explain Gateway to you. I know it. I told somebody the other day, I still believe the same thing I believed when I come here about 24 years ago. I still believe the same Bible. I still preach the same truth. Amen. I say glory, hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Number three, I've got it made. How you know you got it made? I'm contented in whatever state I'm in. Number two, sometimes the crowd's up, sometimes the crowd's down. You got to learn to be contented with it. I found myself sometimes, and even this morning, I told my wife, probably wouldn't be a good crowd here this morning. Had more this morning than we had last Sunday. Oh, me of little faith. Choir's going down there to sing Thursday night, and I told myself, and I pleaded with y'all to go because I'd afraid wouldn't hardly anybody show up. My soul, y'all got down there and sung like I don't know what. And a whole bunch of you went. Made me want to crawl in a hole somewhere and say, Lord God, forgive me. Amen. I've got it made if I just be contented in whatever state I'm in. Number two, I've got it made because I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Whatever he wants me to do. Brother Gary, you never directed a mission before, but you can do it through Christ, which strengtheneth you, because that's where God put you. Brother Ben, you've never been a missionary before, but you're out trying to raise support. But you can do it because Christ strengtheneth you. Amen. Aren't you glad? God strengthens. Do whatever. Number three, and I close. I didn't mean to preach this long. I thought I was going to give it to you real quick. But I just had me a good time tonight. Number three, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I say hallelujah. Amen. Ben will get up and shout in a minute on that. And, amen. Because he's living by faith, I can tell you that. Because when he left his job, see, he had a job at the church. And when he left, he couldn't work a while to work into this thing of deputation. He had to jump in and leave it, boom, cut it off one place and say, here I am, Lord. And so, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches. First thing I notice about that verse is my God. He's a personal God. It has to be my God. Amen. Before I can claim that verse and know I've got it made, my God shall supply, and that's shall, is yet few, he shall take care of. It's like all my need, didn't say every one I had and all that kind of stuff. He said every need I've got, he said he would supply according to his riches and glory. He didn't say according to how Washington, D.C. does, or how the stock market does, or how anything else goes. He said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. And by the way, I'm going to plug this in for the missionaries that's hearing us as a church, who he said that to, and the context it's in. He's talking to those people who've been helping him because he's helping a missionary. God said, I'll help you. If you're having a struggle financially, the best thing you can do is give them something, amen, and get involved in mission, get involved in giving to the Lord. God will bless you and help you. Glory! Long years ago, we started off on this journey of giving to the Lord, and I found out down through the years, God has wonderfully supplied every need I've ever had. There's been a few times I've wondered where it's coming from. But I've had God to send the need right by my side. Had to pay some taxes one day, and I didn't have him the money to do it at that time. I was trying to say something to Bryn the other day, and Clay, they was at the house, and we was talking about finances, that kind of thing. They're thinking, they better think. Colin and Gabby better think about finance, because when it comes to paying bills, you got to have it. If you're going to pay bills, try to lay it. But somehow that is coming up on me. I didn't have the money for it, and I was preaching and all that and trying to do what God wanted me to do. Summertime, doors open, but the screen door was shut, but not locked. And we were sitting at the table eating. And I'll never forget it. The fact is, we had some chicken that night, and Anthony and I pulled a pulley bone. Y'all ever pull a pulley bone? Made a wish. And I said, I just wish God would take care and help me somehow get this taxes paid. Days a man came to that door. He never knocked. He didn't say hello. He didn't say anything. He opened the door. He walked in, counted out money beside my plate, turned around and walked out. I got to counting the money, exactly what I needed. I looked over to Anthony. I said, I got my wish. I said, God did that. God did that. What man, God did it. God said, I'll supply all you need according to my riches in glory. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you tonight that we have got it made. Because